So, our reading for this morning is from Psalm 19, and we're going to read the whole psalm, and then we'll watch a video that Kevin has requested that we watch of a song, and then he will come and bring us this morning's message. So, Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So, Lord, as we listen to this song that's going to be played for us now, and as Kevin comes to give us the message, we really pray that you have opened his heart to bring the right words for us to hear this morning. And we thank you for his skill and ability to be able to unpack your word and present it in a way that we can all take something from it. Amen.
Feel the thunder. strings of a rose in bloom. A newborn's cry at birth. How could I say there is no God when all around creation calls a singing bird, a mighty tree, the vast expanse of open sea.
See you. It's great to be here last week as well for that special bit of the service where Maureen and George were receiving blessing for their 60 years of marriage. But I noticed they're not here today. They've gone on a cruise to get away from me. I wonder if you've been watching the Wild Isles series by David Attenborough. Actually, that's what made me think of saying what I'm going to say this morning. Because when I was here last Sunday, somebody mentioned that I'd be here, and I said, well, I haven't a clue what I'm saying. And Trevor kindly said, well, do whatever you like. So that was very helpful. Thanks, Trevor. And then we watched David Attenborough thing last Sunday evening, and I thought, oh, I know. I know exactly what I'm going to talk about. Well, I didn't. I knew the gist of it. But we saw that last Sunday evening and were struck by the awesome filming, and particularly under the sea, what a myriad of creatures and life forms exist there that I have never heard of nor even imagined. There are what seemed like seabed forests and meadows that provide the backdrop and feeding grounds for the abundant animal life to flourish. Our eyes have been opened in wonder at what we've seen, And I pondered on the fact that so many believe that this all came about by some kind of cosmic accident billions of years ago. Really? The last time I saw that video in a church was on July the 9th last year at our wedding service. We showed it before the service began to express to our guests something of what we believe. It's a pity that they continue chatting through that, as it opens up a wonderful created world that leads, as we saw, to the singer expressing that he believes. With the right kind of seeing, we too can believe in that creator. However, we see only a little of who that God is through his handiwork. It opens the door, as it were, to more exploration. And Andy has been talking about that for himself a bit, and how his a cereal box led him to explore a bit more. When we look around us, there are many questions raised that even science, when it takes a really good look, point to some kind of designer behind all that exists and how it operates and hangs together. Well, I'm not really a scientist, but I can follow some of those arguments. And to me, they seem to point to a creator who is more than a remote figure, but someone that wants to interact with his universe and the people that he has created in his own image. Friedrich Buchner once wrote that every age has produced fairy tales. Something inside us believes or wants to believe that the world as we know it is not the whole story. We long for the re-enchantment of reality. We hope that death is not the end, that the universe is something more than an enclosed terrarium, whatever one of those is. So we keep spinning and repeating stories that hold the promise of another world. He goes on to say this: these stories don't simply demand that another world exists. A common feature of fairy tales is that the enchanted world is not far away. You step into a wardrobe and you're in Narnia. You walk through a forest and stumble on a cottage with seven dwarves. The other world turns out to be far closer than you thought. He says this: in fact, the stories that endure are the ones that most deeply touch this longing inside us. And he quotes Tolkien: it's the mark of a good fairy story of the higher or more complete kind that, however wild its events, however fantastic or terrible the adventures, it can give to the child or man that hears it, when the turn comes, that's the turning aside to look, a catch of the breath, a beat and lifting of the heart, perhaps tears, as keen as that given by any form of literary art. And it goes on to say this: furthermore, fairy tales are not just stories about the transformation of the world around us. They're usually about the transformation of the central characters. Frogs become princes. Ugly ducklings become swans. Wooden marionettes become real boys. These are all features, Buchner says, that the gospel has in common with fairy tales, with this one great difference: the gospel is true. Jesus' announcement of the gospel is simply the announcement of the existence and availability of another dimension of existence, another world. The kingdom of God has come near. The created world, as we look at it, should remind us that the kingdom of that kingdom and how near we are to it. It opens the door to exploration. But a little more is needed. Paradoxically, one commentary I looked at says this of the opening verses in Psalm 19: though they pour forth speech, verse 2, there is no speech, verse 3. It says, the created order both tells and does not tell. It speaks to our intuitions that there is a glorious God who created such marvels, but its message is limited. It cannot tell about him. And confusing, for the beauty of the hills tells one truth, and the storm and volcano another. Well, strictly speaking, I suppose that's true. We don't hear actual words when we look around the world around us. But when I read verse 3 of that psalm fully, it says to me that there's nowhere in this world that cannot discern something of the glory of God from what he has created. And on this theme, Paul, writing to the Romans, has this to say. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. There are a number of passages in the Bible that call into question whether people are able to hear and see what is around them. For example, in Matthew 13, for this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. And this from Ezekiel 12. Son of man, you are living among a rebellious people. They have eyes to see, but do not see, and ears to hear, but do not hear, for they are a rebellious people. I suppose I should pause then and wonder to myself, are my eyes and ears open to what's around me? Even as I look at you folks in here, am I really seeing what's there? Or is it my perception of what's there? Somehow, though, when we look at creation, science has given another explanation for the natural world's existence. And so many people feel much more comfortable with that than believing in a creator who is God. But for myself, I see something sometimes. There are a number of times that I have heard, in inverted commas, from the Lord when in the countryside. The first that I can remember clearly was when I was farming and I'd gone out late at night to see a cow, or see whether a cow was giving birth. There I was, stood on a frosty night in a field, road running by, and as I just casually looked up, it was a clear sky, absolutely peppered with stars. And I could not help but burst out in praise. Pity for anybody who happened to be riding a bike by on the road as they were going by that field. The sky spoke metaphorically, but profoundly, and I was overwhelmed with the sense of God's presence. Andy mentioned it was a long time ago that I left this church. Well, it was 10 years ago, Easter Sunday. That doesn't seem long when you get as old as me. It's just a twinkling of the eye. Lots has happened since then. But about 9 months before I left, I drove out to, I think it's called Wesselton Heath in Suffolk, to spend some uninterrupted time seeking the Lord about the future. As I walked on the heath, everything I saw spoke to me of God's presence. I wrote stuff down, but it would take a long time to tell you all that this morning. But I looked there and I saw this, and I looked there and I saw that. And it was something to do with God being present with me. At the back of my mind on that occasion was the question, what next and where? And it was not tormenting me, but it was, you know, bothering me a little. What am I going to be doing now for the rest of my life? And I clearly heard the words in my spirit, it doesn't matter where you are, as long as you are my person there. And I thought, right, somehow he's going to show me exactly what I need to be doing. I don't have to think about it anymore. It will be presented. And it was. It seems to me that those and other instances happened because I was open to the Lord speaking to me, being already a believer. And that meant that I had spent many hours over the years reading the Bible. Where at all possible, I do that every morning soon after getting up. Might be a cup of tea involved as well, and a few blood pressure tablets, but the important bit is the reading of the Bible. Our psalm recognises that specifics of what God wants to communicate need his word too. Commentary puts it this way: the voice of the Lord, it calls perfection, and it says this, the Lord has not left us to the uncertainties of natural religion. He has spoken his word, which has here six titles. Law, in verse 7, meaning instruction. Statutes, which it says is testimony, or what the Lord bears witness to us as valid. Precepts, which it says are applicable to the small details of life. Commands, intended for obedience. Fear, showing that God's word is worthy of reverence, and ordinances, authoritative decisions. Whether I agree wholeheartedly with that interpretation, I'm not too sure. But he's surely right that there is some uncertainty about what our God is like if relying solely on observing the natural world. We know that not everyone will even see that it is created, as opposed to happening almost by accident and then millions of years of evolution. And we live in a time when people, particularly in the West, want to do their own thing and believe themselves to be masters of their own destiny. Sadly, they might get what they wish for. And this will make Dawn smile because it's about driving, and not her driving, mine. When I think about the word law, certain things happen in my mind. I regularly see drivers jumping red lights. Don't do that, DP. No, I didn't think you did. Breaking the speed limit. Parking on double yellows. Who looks guilty? And I'm a one for rules, I'm afraid, when it comes to driving, and I have to be told to calm down sometimes. There's a widespread disregard for mutually beneficial instruction, with many believing that those rules don't apply to them. When I go for my paper at the co-op, there's usually a car parked in the disabled bay, and it's not a disabled person that's got out of it. You know, that kind of thing irritates me. I'm thinking about the disabled person who might want to come there at 7:15 in the morning. If one disregards law at that level, then one is unlikely to take kindly to the finer details mentioned in the other five titles concerning God's word. That's what I'm trying to get at. Such things are seen to be a curtailment of one's freedom. As a believer, I know that God is interested in all the details of my life, large or small, even how I drive, and whether I get cross at other people driving. It's not because he's a tyrant wanting to control me, but because he loves me and wants the absolute best for me. In my time here as minister, we often had this verse brought by someone or another from Jeremiah 29. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God wants the absolute best for every one of us because he loves us so deeply. I've come to see over many years not only something of what God is like through relating to his word, but also something of what I am like too. Something of what I need to know about myself and how to change that. In the small group that I lead with Dawn, we've moved over a period of time from simply studying the Bible for its own sake, what you might call information gathering, we now relate to it with the intention of it by the Holy Spirit bringing about change in our lives. Not information, but transformation. Looking to become more like Jesus. We might do that by studying a Bible passage, or by using Lectio Divina, or watching videos. It isn't our intention to endlessly debate the detail, but to help one another grow in the Lord, accompanying one another along the way. Relating to God is about transformation. Transformation of oneself. No longer being the puppet, but the real person. I wonder what it is that pulls our strings in daily life and makes us act as we do. Are we under the control of something else, or are we the real person under God? Are we on that journey of transformation? When you look at the natural world and people within it, I wonder what you see. I see the hand of God at work in all that beauty and variety. I see something of him in the faces around me. I believe that he wants to communicate with all of us if we are open to seeing and hearing. This again from Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. And as we draw to a conclusion, we read these words in our home group on Wednesday in the thing that we were studying, thinking about. It's from Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit round and pluck blackberries. Let that sink in a bit. Are you plucking blackberries? Wholesome as they are. You could do with that too, Andy, with your breakfast cereal. Or have you, like Moses, turned aside to be in the presence of God? Are you being transformed by that encounter? I was giving Dawn the gist of what I was going to say this morning, and she said, tell people to ask somebody else what they see when they look at you. Is it someone being transformed? Well, maybe you'd like to do that. I don't want to know what other people think about me, actually, but there we go. Why not ask? Why not even ask God what others are meant to see in you? Are you being transformed, or are you plucking blackberries? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the beauty of this world that you've created. Thank you that you have given so many of us, maybe everyone here, eyes to see what you're doing and what you've done, and ears to hear your word. And I pray for all of us, Lord, that you'll help us to go on being transformed by our encounter with you into the likeness of Christ. And we thank you in his name. Amen.